accidentally. Here we go. Okay, we're ready to go live on our broadcast. So here we go. We're live on our broadcast tonight on the video. We're also on the telephone tonight. Thank you. And it looks like our recording is stabilized, so we're all set. It's great to be back with you. Missed you all last Tuesday evening. Great opportunity for a little holiday here in Utah and spend the rest of the week with our family. We had our son in from Virginia, Paul, who is the director of enrollment at the Jack Welch Management Institute, the MBA program for Strayer University, and our daughter Christina, who's in from New York. Her husband's over on a State Department assignment in Iraq, in Baghdad, of all places. We're excited to get him back in the United States in one piece. So it was great to have all of our children in one place, and we had some fun activities last week. We're refreshed and ready to take on the world. I highly recommend that you take moments like that with for yourself and for your family. We're going to go into a topic tonight that's one of my favorites. It's entitled Physical Creation. When we meet on Tuesday night, our purpose is to go back through the six qualities of an intentional creator. Because if we're not intentionally creating our life, we're unintentionally creating it. It's being created nonetheless. And we really have two choices. As free agency, we have the choice. Choice one is we turn left and we choose a life of where we want it to be easy and comfortable, and we end up in a world of mediocrity, beat up by the baseball bat of life. This is a terrible place to be. We suffer the consequences from this decision, the consequences. So just turn left, right mediocrity, right consequences. We turn right, we're choosing success. We're choosing to intentionally create our life. What that means is that we're engaged. We're on a journey. We also know that when we turn right, there are not consequences, there are requirements. Requirements. So turn right, right success, intentional creation, requirements. We don't get to choose whether or not we want this one or that one. Well, I'll do that one, but I don't want to do that one. I don't like doing that. Well, what we're saying is I really want to turn left. I want to choose mediocrity and suffer the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. If we choose success, we're starting a journey, and we get better and better at completing the requirements, but they're requirements nonetheless. And again, they're not choices. One of those requirements is learning the secret of success, the art of connection, stepping into a person's world, making it about other people. When we choose to make it about other people, we can discover magnificent and wonderful things about people, create safe places, take down their walls, feel their cooperation and productivity flood out before us. This is a great secret, well-kept secret. And we've been living in a time when people are, frankly, quite self-centric. They're in it, I'm worthy to receive, and I want to get, and I want to take, and I want to have. Well, it's a tragic direction, because when that's what we want, we rarely get any of it other than just frustration, because life is not matching our expectations. Here we have an opportunity to focus on people. And in focusing on people, we now come to the process of mental creation, and we're asking, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? And we begin to exercise the first stage in a two-stage process. Mental creation, then physical creation. We want to see in our mind what it is that we want to create in tangible reality. I was on a radio show with Ramon. We had a wonderful time Sunday, Chantel McBride's show on K-Talk 630 here in Salt Lake. And we were talking about dream boards. She asked me if we have dream boards. And I said, you know, dream boards are very powerful. So long as the things on the dream board are a target, I can see where I'd like to be. That's where I'm headed. Not where I go for a daily destination. If I've got a Learjet on there, I'm not going to go spend my day flying around the world in my Learjet. It's just a target. I'm working toward that. I also suggested that those things on the dream board have more to do with becoming than having. If we can become through our doing, our having will be a natural outcome. And what I do know is that successful people have acquired the ability to handle ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ease. I've shared that with you before. It's so important as we go into this physical creation component that in our mind, we see clearly what it is we would like to create. What can I create? How can I create? How will it serve? Our secret desires, our real intentions, are not to escape, not to avoid, not to seek ease, to have more comfortable. Our secret desire is to engage in life and to connect and serve others and create value everywhere we go. When that becomes our secret desire, then we do have manifest to us inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges that will light up part of our brain that is normally dormant in all of us and ignites our passion. We then step into this here and now, this physical creation, and we begin the process of doing the work of creation, the physical, tangible work. We create it in our mind, and now we're going to create it here. It is absolutely a sad, sad lie, but a lie nonetheless, that mental creation magically manifests physical reality. Physical reality is created physically, guided by, driven by passion, by a vision, by a mission. The work we do becomes exciting. We work without counting the costs, without tracking the time. That passion drives our focus and our discipline and our effort and our actions. If we've used our mind to escape into the future and skip past all the work in our mind, or in catastrophe, wallowing in our own manure, so to speak, snorkeling if you want to add it, then when we are faced with the work, it is boring, it is mundane, it is repetitious, it is burdensome, it's hard. These are not things that we want to face. And the truth is, and there is no shortcut, everyone does the work. Everyone. So our choice isn't whether we do it or not, if we want to be successful. The question is, do we want to do it and have it be hard and burdensome, boring, mundane, repetitious? Or do we want it to be vision, mission, and passion driven? Same work, different mindset. One is exciting, the other one is just overwhelmingly frustrating. Well, there are some characteristics. If you can open up your assessment, go to augmandino.com, scroll down to the last option, which is member login, put in your email address and password that you selected, get to your results. We're talking about the left-hand side of your assessment, the second section down, physical creation. There are six measurements in our assessment that deal with the creation of something in tangible reality. Take a look. The very first one, and they're all stated as I ams. I am passionate. It's not that I have a big house and I have a big car and I have a big bank account and I am wealthy. That creates a tendency to do fantasy, the very thing that destroys this process. Instead, I am passionate. I am excited and fulfilled by the work I do. I passionately engage in life, embrace principles, create value, and contribute to the world. I am passionate. The word passion, Kevin Hall taught me, is a 14th century word. It came from the passion plays in Europe, a willingness to suffer for something we love. Nobody gets to skip the work. So if we're passionate, we're willing to suffer for something we love. I am productive. That's the second measurement. This one is orange on your assessments about 92% of the time. 92% of the time. When it's balanced, I know when something needs to be improved. I understand what needs to be done to make it better, and I take the action necessary to create it. That's being productive. When this turns orange, we have a tendency to be impatient. We know what needs to be done, how to do it. We just want it done now. And this measurement has nothing to do with people. This is just getting the task done, which means we may be more focused on getting the task done than on the people who are doing it. And we may start to appear a little impatient, even insensitive. That's a risk. We may privately say, good grief, do I have to do everything myself? Oh, can you imagine what we can accomplish if we didn't have to involve people? Now, that block right above it, empathy, intuition, will override these thoughts, and you'll end up with this conflict in your conversation between the value of the person and the need to get the job done. Just know if this one's orange, you might be crushing people. You might be impatient. Just know that tasks are only done as fast as the people are capable to do them. As a leader in any organization, it is your job to wrap your arms around those who are wandering around in their fog and guide them through the process. With clarity comes the responsibility of being a patient teacher. Number three, I am organized. We see this one sometimes red, and it's in the 90th percentile, orange and red, especially with entrepreneurial people. Entrepreneurial people aren't really good at doing things in an organized way, you know, consistently, same way every time. They want more flexibility, creativity. They don't like it when someone tries to impose on them how it ought to be done. And sometimes they're smart. They hire an executive assistant to take care of the details. But if we're not in a position to hire one, and it doesn't hurt if we can become organized, I am organized, which simply means I do things in an organized, structured, and realistic way. I allocate and use my time and resources effectively to get the desired result. If you got stuff piling up on your desk, and Ramona could smile and probably kick me under the desk here, it's time to get some help. Entrepreneurs are so busy thinking that sometimes it's tough to do the cross the I's and cross the T's and dot the I's. I am compliant. Now, many entrepreneurial people are not compliant. Compliant is I act with caution and prudence. I recognize the value of doing things in an organized and structured way, even when it may keep me from doing things the way I want to do them. I just had a thought I need to share with you. If you don't know this, what I'm reading to you is on your Intentional Creation Studio. Go to your assessment results, click on Creation Tools, go to your studio, you'll click on Quality Number 2, and right at the top it says Affirmations. Click on Affirmations, and all of this is written out, and there's also an audio bar where I have recorded me saying these six affirmations, these six characteristics of an intentional creator set to music. If you haven't found that yet, you might want to find it. I think it's a great thing to listen to over and over and over again. I am compliant. Most entrepreneurs push the envelope. They want to see how far they can take something. And if someone says, you can't do it that way, It's like them, so that they want to say, and anybody on the phone can chuckle with me or on the video tonight, that, and just chuckle and go, just watch me. Just watch me. Well, that's not being compliant. It's being a little bit of a risk taker. Just don't push the envelope too far. Don't ride the proverbial jet airplane built for Mach 1 at Mach 2. You might blow out an engine and crash, and you might not parachute safely down. So have some caution and prudence. Be careful. I am proactive. This is such a key part of doing anything. Many of you have this measurement orange. Let me read to you the balance. I am present. Got that? I am clear and decisive. I keep obstacles in their proper perspective and am willing to confront difficult or challenging problems or issues as they occur. When this starts to turn orange, we have a tendency to take mountains and turn them into molehills. We minimize the seriousness of putting off an important task. I don't know about you, but when I do, and I reach a deadline, and I have no choice but to jump in and do it, it's almost always the same day when three other major problems occur. And our stress goes up simply because we've been procrastinating. Just take a look and see if this is a risk. There are other places that create procrastination, such as perfectionism, but this is one of the major contributors. And lastly, I'm protective. What does that mean? I passionately protect and maintain what has been created and strive to add value in everything I do. So if I'm going to build something, when I got done, I'm not going to just move on and let it fall apart. Part of being an intentional creator is protecting that which has already been built, so I don't have to keep starting over. I am protective. These are important characteristics. These are found in your Intentional Creation Studio. I also printed these in the new book, Today I Begin a New Life. It's on page 211 if you have a copy of that book. These are all stated as I am affirmations. Just, again, be really careful making affirmations that have to do with having. Because 98% of the people who create that affirmation will spend time in their mind living prematurely that event over and over and over again. And every time reality shows up differently, it's going to be a nightmare. Create I am statements, and I've written these for you. So these can be your affirmations. Imagine how much different your life would be. I am passionate. I am productive. I am organized. I am compliant. I am productive. I am protective. Proactive, excuse me. I am protective. If these were characteristics you owned, you are increasing your ability to handle ever-increasing levels of stress with ever-increasing levels of ease. Once we are mastering these characteristics by doing. Let's go into a few principles. The work of creation. I shared in the book a story that occurred one Saturday. Ramona was out pulling weeds, and she kind of hinted it would be nice to have me come out. And I was thinking about calling my dad and having a chat with him, and I thought maybe I was just trying to avoid the weed pulling. Might be true. But then I felt really impressed I should, and I did. And we had an amazing conversation. I did not know this. This wasn't that long ago, sadly. I always thought my father was just a workaholic. Truth is, he loved what he did. He loved what he did. And he would show up in situations where everyone else had failed, and he had no choice. He must succeed. He will succeed. He was a computer scientist, and when a system went down at the NASA wind tunnel in San Francisco and they'd worked on it and couldn't fix it, they sent him. At Brown University, when their computer went down in the laboratory and they couldn't get it back up, they sent him. in the jungles of the Pacific, when a secret government installation with computers went down and they couldn't fix it, they sent him. I discovered that day, I'd never known it, that in all those years of fixing those challenges, he'd never failed. Oh, did this open up an incredible conversation with my father. I just thought he was a tyrant. He knew that it would be easier for me to learn how to play than it was to learn how to work. And so he made sure from a very young age that I knew how to work. I remember asking him a couple of questions on this topic. And I expressed to him my heartfelt concern that work is getting a bad rap. I've always loved working. Of course, I've always chosen to do things I love to do in working. I remember in Denver, Colorado, Arvada, thank you. Remember where I was, Terry Byers, Woodbine, or Wood Rock Landscaping, later turned into Timberline, that I was working for Terry, and we would work in the summertime, no exaggeration, 6 a.m. in the morning, and we'd still be working with his pickup truck lights at 10 o'clock at night. And a friend of mine once said to me, you know, when you work 40 hours a week, you're supposed to get time and a half, overtime. So I asked Terry one day, I said, Terry, I'm a little nervous, but I asked him, what about overtime? And he said, well, I could have you work the first half of the day and have somebody else work the other half of the day, or you can have both halves. Both halves were 16 hours, plus lunch, about 17-hour days. I grew up thinking that was a day. Now, I'm not suggesting that's healthy. I'm just comparing it to how many can't put in a 7 or 8 hour totally focused day without complaint or frustration. We're living in a nation where there's a sense of entitlement. We're not focused on doing our very best. Now, this isn't categorical. I know that. And all the exceptions are with us tonight on this call. Not all the exceptions, but you're all exceptions. Isn't it sad how people go through the motions, show up at 8, leave at 5, and then they go back to their life? And all day long, they're pouring so much energy into going half speed that it's exhausting. And one of the things we discover in this process is that when we're going full speed, regardless of recognition or pay, we're going full speed. We are engaged with our own genius, our own ability. We're spending the day with ourselves, our true self, our authentic self, our enthosectic self. And we're doing the right things for the right reasons because we want to and we get to and we choose to. Well, I was sharing my concerns with Dad, and I said, I just sometimes don't know what to do, Dad. And he said, this isn't new. This isn't new. And he would talk about mission-critical computers. Serious, serious problems on the line. And he would be in Brown University, at Brown University in the Northeast, working all night fixing a computer, getting a phone call, sleeping on the plane to San Francisco and fixing another critical computer, getting to San Francisco at 5 o'clock, and when he showed up, everybody left. It was quitting time. Quitting time. He didn't understand what that meant. There's no such thing as quitting time. And he would get the computer fixed the next morning, everybody come back, and it was working fine. Now, he was an extreme example, and I'm not suggesting that this is the right way to work. I just know that when you've got a passion, an absolute mission, because he was mission-driven, mission-critical. he was it. The world was depending on him to pull it out, to make it happen. He thrived on that. He could work without sleep, push way past human limits. And some of you are in businesses that frankly could require this kind of energy. How do we get this? And part of it comes from using our mind constructively. That's part of it. We'll get an inspired idea. The other part Og teaches us from scroll number 9. He writes this in scroll 9. Henceforth, I'll remember the lesson of the firefly. I just love the way he used this visualization, a firefly buzzing around. It's got the light. Who gives off its light only when it's on the wing, only when it's in action. Now, when you think about this, Og's trying to teach us something, but it's only there for those who want to hear it. This isn't about fireflies. This is about light. This is about inspiration. The light bulb turned on. You ever heard that expression? Oh, just, I got it. I figured it out. Well, he's trying to say to us, we only figure it out when we are in action. I will become as a firefly, and even in the day, my glow, you can see it in someone's eyes when they're filled with passion, will be seen in spite of the sun. Let others be as butterflies who preen their wings, yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. Think about all those people who feel a sense of entitlement. I will be as the firefly, and my light will brighten the world. If we're not getting inspiration, then let us go into action like the firefly. I just felt inspired to go back and read the next paragraph to you, because this is such an important one. He says, I will not avoid the tasks of today and charge them to tomorrow, for I know that tomorrow never comes. Let me act even though my actions may not bring happiness or success, for it is better to act and fail than to not act and flounder. Happiness and truth may not be the fruit plucked by my action, yet without action all fruit will die on the vine. This is where we find the inspiration. In the next chapter of the book, I talk about one of these moments. I've shared parts of this with some of you. It was January 8th of this year. Ramona and I just got back from Coronado, where I'd been speaking at Kevin Hall's Genshai Life Mastery Retreat. We had been going for as long as I can remember without a day off. It was a crazy schedule. And it's Sunday night. Sunday was a very busy day for us. It's 10:30 at night, and I'm lying in bed. And I can't shut my mind off. It just wants to go in a million directions. So I start practicing what we learned over the last few weeks, mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving, planning, goal setting. I went into mental rehearsal. My mental rehearsal was very simple. The book had been laid out, proofread, and ready to go to the publisher the next day. So I just started mentally rehearsing what it was going to be like for someone to pick this book up and begin to read it. And in my mind, I started going through the pages and experiencing the best I could, empathy, standing on someone's path, looking through their eyes, examining these words. And it hit me. The book is 70 pages shorter that this person's reading. 70 pages. Now, I've been through rewrites for 4 years. It started at almost 400 pages and worked its way down to 200 and something, 300 and something, I think, at that point. But it needed to be 70 pages less. I felt impressed a few days later to actually put this story in the book, because I was in the middle of a passion-driven experience, and there were so many elements of being passion-driven that were present. Number one, I saw the big picture, but I did not know the details. I did not know which pages needed to come out. I just had an absolute impression that ignited my passion and lit me on fire that 70 pages needed to come out. It's 10:30 at night. I'm exhausted. You can imagine I might try to talk myself out of that inspiration. Wouldn't go away. Came down here, right? I'm staring in the microphone, the camera, and talking in the microphone of the computer I faced that night at 10:30. Right here, keyboard, right here. And I began reading from the very beginning. I had no idea what was going to happen. I just knew 70 pages needed to come out. I wrote all of that night until the next morning. Passion-driven by that 70 pages that needed to come out. I was just beginning to get an idea. I just had this inspiration to change something in the book, to put these affirmations at the beginning of each chapter. They weren't in the book, not in the previous draft. Wow, they really need to be here. I'm just getting this inspiration. It's time to grab a shower, have some breakfast, and coach. So we coached all day. Monday night, I think we got done at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and I got back to my writing. I'm still fired up. About 1:30 that night, I hit a wall. Physical exhaustion. And then I got an inspiration about something that happened in Coronado on the topic of forgiveness. When Immaculée was talking about this from her book, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to take stuff out of here. What am I doing? So I wrote a new chapter for the book, but it was right. And then I found something I could take out, and I wrote till just about sunup again. I did take a nap for about an hour and a half, took a shower, coached all day. Tuesday night, we usually end about 8 or 8:30, like tonight. Started writing again. By Wednesday morning at 2:30, I had absolutely crashed. I mean, I was in tears. I was physically exhausted. And the sweetest, best part of the book came to me. I was like the firefly who has only had the light when it was in action. 70 pages clear, the details not. They were given to me step by step, line upon line, as I was willing to surrender to the process. And they will be for you too, if you'll surrender to the process. Not try to skip this, not try to shortcut it, not try to mentally, visually fantasize beyond it, but actually engage in it. I'm not recommending people go this long without sleep. It's just that I got excited that night and I wrote again until it was time to grab just a little nap and a shower and work through Wednesday. Wednesday night, Thursday morning, all the way through Thursday. By the time we got to Friday, it was about 1:36, 1:38 as I remember, I finished the last word. And I remember that moment. Wow. What would have happened if this weren't in the book? And I had this overwhelming impression. David, it is. Yeah, it is. This miracle that I was living in for 5 days was called passion-driven action. And when I was reaching a point of exhaustion and I'd done all that I could do, I was given more insight. Because the driving secret desire was not to be a rich, not to be a famous author, not to be a speaker and adored by everyone. It was simply to write something that would change a life, that would move a soul. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? Well, we ended up with 3 new chapters and more than 70 pages taken out of the book. I'm not sure what we took out. I just know we haven't missed it. What an amazing experience. This is something that's available for all. I just felt impressed to put it in the book so that you can see the steps. You get the impression, you get the other steps as you do it. When you've done all you can do, you have taken your gifts, your talents, your skills, and you have maximized them for as much as you could get out of them. Validate. I've been teaching this for years. I experienced it that week. I was given more. That was a miracle. I was given more, and so can you. How do we find this person? How do we meet this person? All of you have met this person. We've been through coaching. We've talked about this a little bit. Let's look at it a little differently tonight. Almost all of us, for whatever reason, as Marianne Williamson said, we have more fear about our greatness. Well, I think I know why. You see, if we fully embraced our greatness, we'd have no more excuses, no more safety nets, no more reasons for why we did or did not accomplish something. We would be held accountable to a higher standard. We would know what we could actually accomplish when we put our mind to it, and anything short of that would not represent success. I think it is fear of what's required of us if we embrace it. Everybody got that? Why am I not fully adopting all of my gifts? Why do I choose confusion? Why do I tell myself I can't do that or figure that out? Why do we go into that space? Because we get to avoid responsibility for that which we've already been given. We know we have it. Because every time we procrastinate and we get to that point where we have no choice, we have to jump in, we shut the noise off in our head and we jump in and we do it and we're surprised. Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? Wow. We are surprised at our capacity. We're surprised at our own capacity. And for a lifetime, many of us have been going back into procrastination, jump in, accomplish, surprise. Delay, 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 jump in, surprise. Delay, 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 jump in, surprise. Well, I want you to know that we do need rest. I listened to a recording from a few days before we went on our vacation. I sounded like one tired dude. It was amazing to listen to. We need rest. We can't go 100 miles an hour all the time. But we don't want to go half speed all the time either. My promise to you is the very things you're looking for in your life, the very joy you're hungry for to fill that void in your soul, comes when you spend the day with yourself, your true self, magnifying the gifts you've been given. Taking that 5-talent gift and turning it into a 10. Not burying it because of fear. Many of you will know what I'm talking about. Let us not bury this. Let us not engage in procrastination. Let us charge forward with courage. At first, even we will be surprised. Being genuine, root word genus, is not about ego. It's not about how great am I. It's about bringing all that we've been given to the service of others. You see, when we're procrastinating, when we're saying awful things to ourselves about ourselves, we're not just robbing others of our greatest gifts, we're also robbing ourselves. Why would we want to rob ourselves and others of our gifts? Let us be in physical creation, fully engaged. No more procrastination. Let us let go of that. Well, that brings us to an exercise. And all of you have been through this exercise. I don't know if I shared this. I may not have shared this. I remember the night I wrote this. I was studying Scroll 9. That scroll log talks about being lazy, evil, weak, and a failure. I remember penning this. It just hit me like a funny bone. Because so many of us say, I'll do that tomorrow. We come home from work. We might have a home-based business we want to build, but we're tired tonight. So we pull out the pretzels and sit down and watch television, and we'll do that tomorrow night. Og taught us this principle in Scroll 9. I'm just magnifying it with this poem. Don't be aloof. L-E-W-F. That's an acronym for lazy, evil, weak, and a failure. I'm not lazy, the loof said with a smile. It's all figured out. Got it filed in my file. If I spend all today relaxing, I'll bet I'll be rested and ready tomorrow to sweat. Me? Evil? The loof said with a grin. How could you utter such nonsense, such sin? Wait till tomorrow, as idle minds would. It'll be out of my system. Tomorrow's for good. So my productivity's down this month and last year. Well, haven't you had a slump? Weak? The loof questioned. You insult me today. I could choose to be strong. Is tomorrow okay? Well, success is the banner that hangs over my chair. I see it, I read it, I shout in the air. Can nobody hear me? I mean it this time. A failure? No. Tomorrow, success will be mine. And so we hear such repetitive oration from loofs who love procrastination. For when everyone knows, but everyone knows the price they will pay. For when tomorrow is here, it will still be today. It is always now. It's now. 10 minutes from now, it's still now. 10 years from now, it's still now. It's always now. But yet our mind wants us to be somewhere else. Sometimes wanting to be someone else doing something different. But our body, our faithful body, is always present. And when we bring our mind and our body into the same place, we go into physical creation. Here's your exercise. You've done this. It's called power sessions. This is a hard thing to do. And it's not hard because, well, it's hard because we don't stay present. It's also a requirement of creation. So this is one of those double-edged swords. It's hard to do, but it's a requirement. I've chosen success. This is a requirement. I don't get to choose whether or not I'm present in the now. That's a requirement of creation. So here's an exercise to help you do it. Tomorrow morning when you get up, read scroll number 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. Don't let one drop spill upon the sand. Spend just a few moments reviewing your calendar. Pick 3 things that are on your calendar for tomorrow that are important. You're going to be there. You're just going to choose to bring your mind with you. Your mind and your body are going to be in the same place, totally present, 3 times tomorrow. What are the most important things? I would pick a couple business and one that's family or friends. Then, start thinking about the first one, mental rehearsal. What can I do? How can I do that? How will that serve? Then show up and totally be present, intrinsically validating. Considering possibilities. What can I create? What can we do next? Being really present with the people. See what kind of miracles you create. This isn't about a circus event. This isn't a big production. The production is your mind and your body are in the same place, focused. Focused. About noon, midday, read scroll 9. I'll act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. It'll help you stay in action. Then do the last 2. These power sessions where power of my mind and my body are in the same place. But we're going to be there all day physically, all day long. We're going to be there physically. 3 times we're going to ask our mind to be there with us. At the end of the day, I want you to re-scroll 7. I'll laugh at the world. Just to put things in proper perspective. And then write a few lines in a journal. Just what happened during each one of those power sessions that may not have occurred if we weren't this conscious. Just write that down. Found out this, discovered that, found out, made this decision, this move forward. These are the miracles that will start to occur. Miracles. My promise to you is if you'll actually execute this, a week from now, we could talk about the miracles. Absolute miracles in your life. You'll know when they occur. This is only being present three times a day. I had our eighth person, I think close to about 3,800 coaching clients now. The eighth happened about 3 weeks ago on a Monday, got the report. She was 89 years old. 89. Isn't that amazing? And she actually did it. So, I'm going to encourage you to do it. If that becomes overwhelming, and you've been doing this, playing with it, flirting with this for weeks, even months, if this is a requirement of success, do you want to be successful or do you want to be mediocre? Success, choose this. If three are difficult, do one. Then work up to two. Then work up to three. Let this be the week you take this on. Next week, we're going to take on the thought processes that are trying to talk you out of doing this. Yeah, those systemic thought processes that have been running your life for a lifetime. Resistant, resentful, rebellious. Oh, my goodness. We'll have some fun with these thought processes. So, take on power sessions. Create something magnificent. You're going to be reading Scroll 5, 9, and 7. And let's come back next Tuesday. Having moved our life forward, having paid the price to become. We're not just trying to change behavior. We're changing our nature. Everybody got that? We're not just changing behavior. We are changing our nature. We are shifting thought processes. May you have the courage to do it this week. It's been a privilege to be with you tonight. We think about you often. Ramona and I pray for you morning and night that you will grasp these principles and have the courage to take them on and start enjoying the success of being an intentional creator, being in creation. That's success. And doing so with ever-increasing levels of ease. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great night, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday. Good night, everyone.